And good morning here on this November 12th, a very snowy morning to start us off. It is 32 degrees here as I'm Sam Speck, joined in studio by the superintendent of USD 445, Craig Correll. And I guess we've already done a program this morning, but I've got notifications. You, above anybody, could probably give us the news. 445 in session today.
We are in session this morning. Yes, we are.
Oh, I was getting phone calls left and right, and they are just like, well, who do we go to figure it out? And you know what? The superintendent of the school district is certainly a good man to ask that question towards. So Coffeyville in session today. But with that, lots of snow out there. That means, you know, you're going to need to plan an extra maybe 10 to 15 minutes ahead, maybe run in a little bit late today just to make sure the kids get to school okay and safely. That's a big thing as well. But, you know, with that, it comes down to a lot of information to be spread as well, because a lot of these parents may be out in the country. Maybe they're running a little bit later. They haven't looked at their phone just yet. You know, what are great, probably the best way, and then we can just go down all of the other options as well to get all of that information.
Well, communication is definitely important for us. We do start with a text message blast. So make sure that your number is signed up in our system for all the parents or grandparents or guardians. And if it's not, if your number's changed recently, get a hold of your school secretary and they can fix that for you. So the first thing we do, we usually have our assistant superintendent over facilities and our bus drivers are out, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning driving roads and trying to make that call. So as soon as we know parents need to know as early as possible. We want to make sure that happens. So we do that text blast. The next thing we do is we make sure and we call all of our local, you know, radio channels. KGGF gets a call right away, and we put that on Facebook as well. And so we really try to cover as many avenues as we possibly can to make sure parents understand.
Yeah, ahead of the game again. And, you know, it's just good to kind of have that information on the back burner, because a lot of parents go out and they'll look at the forecast and they'll kind of assume, and I know kids will definitely assume, man, oh, there's snow in the forecast. We probably got closures tomorrow and things like that. And you kind of had mentioned it there as well. It kind of comes down to the bus drivers. And what are the other kind of critiques that you guys go through to make sure that, you know, man, the roads really are unsafe, or is it kind of, does it have to do with the amount of snowfall? What are that criteria?
Yeah, mostly it's the condition of the roads, and it really isn't so much the amount of snowfall as it is the timing and then what the precipitation looks like before the snow. Usually the worst case scenarios are when we have a little bit of rain in the night and then about 4 o'clock in the morning, that low dips down below freezing. That freezes, and then you get a little snow on top of that, and that's about the worst conditions. And I think those are the conditions probably the city would say are the toughest for them to get that clear, because it's a lot easier to push snow away than it is to get that layer of ice that can form on the road.
Yeah, certainly.
And just making sure your children, you know, when we do have school, making sure they've got their coats and their gloves on, because even though it's above freezing right now, that wind chill's about 16 degrees out there, so it's pretty chilly.
Yeah, it gets pretty brutal at times, and like you had mentioned, when that wind picks up, it becomes a different one. And for, you know, kiddos with their actual, you know, with their own vehicle, taking it to school,
yes,
now, you're learning, hey, I'm going to have to set aside 10 extra minutes,
right,
so I can go out and scrape off the ice and things like that. Now, with the parking lot and things like that, I'm sure you guys do your best to plow, but there's got to be an extra level of safety with the parents and the students as
yes,
well.
Yes, we are out there plowing early. We have a spreader that we spray ahead of time that prevents the ice from freezing. And I just want to make sure that, you know, all of our services are clear and free. And we do allow some extra time. So on a day like today, you know, if those students are coming a couple minutes tardy, we're not going to count them tardy. And always, and I don't think today is really one of those days, but when it comes down to a day that a parent really thinks it's a judgment call and maybe the school should have called off that we didn't, you know, we're going to go ahead and excuse that student's absence. We want to make sure that all of our students are safe. We do have the parameters that we're up against as far as when we have school, and we're always looking out for their best interest. But we want to make sure that they know if they feel it's too safe for their, you know, if their child drives to school and that's the only means they have to get to school and the parent doesn't feel like it's safe, then we want to honor that decision.
Yeah.
We're in a situation where a lot of times if we call it or don't call it, we have about half the parents that wish we would have done one or the other. Some parents don't want us to call school off very rarely because they don't have a babysitter and they need to get to work. And then we also have the safety concern. So we do try to balance all that. And, you know, sometimes it's a no-win situation. We're going to look at student safety first and then go from there.
Yeah, and you know, when I had lived in North Dakota for this little time as well, it's a little different because the districts aren't as widespread as up there, but sometimes families, you know, are miles within the country, and that can drastically change road conditions, because, I mean, you look at the inner city, and that has some consistent traffic over it, which takes some snow off. There's some country roads where may have a big snow drift. There was a lot of times where, in fact, the plows just kind of forgot to go down that certain country road, but they got the main roads off, so you're snowed in. So it's good to hear that, you know, the district has that grace period a little bit of certain areas. And for parents with that as well, you know, just get your kids to school. But at the same time, you can make that judgment call if it is a little bit too extreme.
And we understand real life. And sometimes you're prepared to get to school, and then you walk out and there's 3 inches of snow, and it kind of changes things.
Yeah, and sometimes there's nothing you can do. I mean, there was many times where I didn't throw the heater on the engine of my car, and I ended up being an hour late to work. Right. And they were understanding due to it, but it comes with that learning curve as well for the kids. You know, you got to get out, scrape that ice off the window. You got to get the car started a little early, so it all comes with that. But for now, today, Coffeyville, we are in session, and I believe I'll be talking to a couple of Phil Kinley students coming up here in about an hour or so. So we do have a school board meeting to get to tonight. I believe you said it's kind of a little light agenda, so let's go over kind of just the overview of it.
We do have a light agenda this evening. We have a topic every board meeting, and we select those in the summer. So we talk to all of our administrators and our board members, and we create a plan for the year to talk about different aspects of our organization. And tonight we're talking about our students that their first language is not English. And we've really had a rise in that population. When I started 11 years ago, you know, we had less than 10 students that their first language was not English. And in the last few years, that number has really ratcheted up. And we're north of 250 right now. And, you know, obviously that's a struggle for our teachers, the students as well. They come in, they don't understand English. And we've done a great job with training our teachers. We have several teachers that now have degrees in ESOL, or they have a master's degree that they've added on to their teaching degree on ESOL. So they have a good understanding of how to teach those students. And, you know, those students come in and they've got great attitude and they've got great work ethic, and it's just a matter of making sure that we're doing right by them. So the presentation tonight will be by some of our ESOL staff and our ESOL director, just to talk about how that number has increased, how the number of staffing has increased for the ESOL, and then some of the strategies that we're using for those students, and then to show those students progress. You know, we have students that come in anywhere from at our early learning center all the way to high school. And a student may come in at high school, and they may be 17 years old. It's still our job to get those students graduated. And they may not have any high school credits when they come in. So it really has presented a challenge in Coffeyville for us, but I feel we've really addressed that challenge very well. So that's what our board will hear about this evening.
Yeah, and those steps taken right there, you know, for someone that was in high school, you know, 5-6 years ago, whatever it may be, in a completely different setting and a completely different kind of bias as well, we edged towards that a little bit, but there is a difference in the attitude as well. There needs to be that attitude of acceptance when it comes to that, because they're here most of the time just full-heartedly wanting to get a full education, wanting to get it done. And like you said, they're hard workers. They come into class. They're, you know, on time. They do what they need to do to get there. And what I noticed with my school and our programs as well, which is what I like to hear that Coffeyville does not do, but again, it was just a level of almost, oh man, now I got to learn your language along with mine. And that's not the attitude that we should have. We should be open arms. It should be, let me teach you my language, and along the way, I'll probably learn a little of yours. You know, and it sounds like the district kind of has that approach with these programs.
We do. We have a few interpreters that we're lucky to have that are some of our citizens that we've hired to come in and interpret for us. The majority of our teaching staff that have the ESOL certificates, you know, they don't speak Spanish. They're teaching English. So we want to acclimate these students as soon as we can into, you know, daily education here in Coffeyville so they can be successful post-graduation. And so that's what it really takes. And really, it isn't even so much Spanish. A lot of our students speak different dialects, and we don't have staff that speak a lot of those dialects. So it really is bringing those students in and working with them where they're at, but then getting them on pace with our other students as quickly as we can.
Yeah. And with that as well, I'm sure there's, you know, I'm not necessarily sure everybody kind of has these classifications, but say there's someone hearing impaired, is there, you know, options with sign language, and or do you guys kind of have offering around that?
Yes, we do. If a child comes in that can't hear, we're going to make sure we have an interpreter that does understand sign. We have some staff that do know sign. In fact, we tried to get a high school in sign language and just couldn't find enough enough students and enough staff that could be able to teach that class. Yeah. But it is very important, whatever the case is. We want to make sure that we're communicating with all of our students at their level.
Yeah, and that's the difference. Again, you know, I'm not knocking my school district by any means, but it just seemed the courses and the administration as well, there was just an attitude to learning a new language. It was a nuisance. And same with the students as well. The students almost kind of had that reaction of, oh, it's a nuisance that I have to learn this new language, when in reality it's more of a benefit to the accepting of the ones that don't know the English language.
Right. I've always felt that Coffeyville is an extremely accepting community. We're a very diverse community, and I think that's great for all of our students. I think we all learn so much about that, and we're really a microcosm of the greater society here in Coffeyville.
Certainly, certainly. Speaking with the superintendent of USD 445 Schools, Craig Correll, here on this morning as, again, light agenda tonight, light agenda, speaking upon those matters. Anything, any other notes that you guys are really going to hit on this evening?
That's really about it. We've got this week to go. It's a full week, and then we go Monday and Tuesday next week, and then we're off for Thanksgiving break after that. So
that's right. That's
right. It's creeping up on us quickly.
Yeah, and again, you know, if say you have, a full week of vacation planned with your family and things like that, it's time to get those calls in with the school, get those cleared as well. And then again, Craig, how can parents get that information changed, get that text blast in the
morning?
Just
call the building that your child attends and visit with that secretary, and they can change your phone numbers or whatever contact information, or they can add contacts onto that.
Yeah, and it's important. It is important, especially today. I mean, I don't think this kind of snowfall we'll see for another 7-8 days, but at the same time, it is the season.
Right, you never know.
Exactly, tis the season. So, okay, Dr. Craig Correll with USD 445, thanks so much for spending a Monday morning with us.
All right, thank you.
This is the Mighty 690 KGGF.